Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Another off-season edition of Phillies Today as the stove is finally heating up. Here in the Major League Baseball offseason, we have plenty of free agency rumors, plenty of trade rumors to discuss, a couple early signings made as well, but for the most part, it's just rumors right now. As you know, reporters and writers kind of try to connect the dots here and see who was going to land where this offseason. A lot of movement expected in baseball, obviously, and the Phillies, who just got bounced in the National League Division Series and come off a disappointing postseason after winning 95 games, are expected to be one of the teams that are making a lot of changes here. And there have already been plenty of names that have been thrown out there that people think the Phillies are interested in or think that could sign with the Phillies potentially. And Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold and the rest of the front office here has their work cut out for them as they look to get this team past where it went last season, which is a successful regular season for sure, a division title, but ultimately coming up well short of their goal, which was to get back to the World Series and eventually win it. So a lot on the Phillies plate here, and it's going to start with getting a premier free agent here to Philadelphia to help improve this team. And one situation that I'm going to start with talking about here first is what ends up happening at third base, because the rumors have been swirling about over the past few days between Alec Bohm and Alex Bregman, both guys who play third base, of course, and Alec Bohm, obviously already a Philly, and Alex Bregman has been connected to the Phillies here. So there is one audio clip I want to play, and this was A.J. Pierzynski, who did the Phillies-Mets National League Division Series and is on Foul Territory, a pretty popular baseball podcast, and just about what he has been hearing on Alec Bohm and the situation, which has basically had him at the forefront of trade talks so far this offseason. It seems like, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but everyone is pretty much assuming that Alec Bohm will not be a Philly next year. And I want to play this from A.J. Pierzynski, basically, wrapping up and discussing what he's heard in terms of Alec Bohm and the Phillies.
Here's the biggest thing I'll say with Alec Bohm after being around the Phillies for about a week in the playoffs and then seeing he needs to improve things, not his performance. Let's just say that. There's some people around that organization that aren't huge fans of the way he acts sometimes. And I'm just going to leave it at that, but there are some people that have said he needs to basically grow up a little bit. There are some things that he's done that people that, he got benched in the playoffs, basically. If you remember, it, game three, he got benched for Sosa.
You think that had to do with something else or just underperformance or not going to say?
It had to do with both.
Got it.
From people, and this didn't come from, this came from people around the Phillies.
Yep.
I'm not saying Dave Dombrowski or Sam Fold or Rob Thompson, none of those people, but it came from people that are around and have a lot of knowledge about the Phillies that he needs to take the next step as a maturing adult. Well, and then, I think that people if you watch the Phillies games all the time, and Kratz, you watch them all the time, you know what I'm talking about.
And so I know that's nothing groundbreaking here, and that's kind of the takeaway a lot of people have with Alec Boehm right now, and especially what we saw in the second half of the season, like when he pouted in Kansas City and the team ends up winning, I think it was like 10 or 11 to 1. They smoked the Royals, and he goes 0 for 4, and he is in the dugout upset, and it was just bad optics there. Obviously, that was magnified to a greater extent in the division series when, you know, things are going wrong. He's not performing again, and there's helmet slamming, there's bat slamming, there's pouting. And it just ultimately comes with the maturity thing for Alec Boehm now. And look, I know a lot of people want to give him a break because, like, they say he's a young player. But, you know, Alec Boehm is not, you know, this guy in the daycare anymore. He's 28 years old. Like, this is the prime of Alec Boehm's career right now. So if you think that he is a maturity problem, you know, you need to address it because you need a championship caliber attitude from, you know, the performance on the baseball field to everything in the clubhouse. I just think that if they were going to make a move, it just seems destined that Alec Boehm is the guy who they move off of at this point. And you're going to have to give him an extension eventually if you don't. And I just don't think that's something that they're willing to do right now. And that's something that, you know, if you're prioritizing who you want to be here in the future, I could see Alec Boehm as somebody who they kind of make an example of in a way and say, hey, look, we need a championship mentality on the field, off the field, everything involved from day one. So that's kind of my thought on Alec Boehm and why I think he's probably not a Philly to start next year. And it seems like that's the consensus at this point. And the main reason why I don't think he's going to be a Philly to me is a guy who I've been talking about for the last couple weeks on this podcast and how much I think he is a fit on this team. And that's Alex Bregman. And I am sort of all in on the Alex Bregman train right now. I just think he's a really good fit for this team. I've discussed the whiff rate, the chase rate, and I just think that those things combined with how little he strikes out as well and how much of a fit he would be if you were to get off Alec Boehm, you slide him right into third base. And hey, yeah, his agency has said that he would be willing to move positions as well. And that's a gold glove caliber third baseman. So I love the championship mentality from that standpoint. He's obviously done it in the postseason before, has phenomenal postseason numbers, had a massive hit against the Phillies in the 2022 World Series off, I think it was Alvarado in game 4. So he's had a ton of success in the postseason. And ultimately, I just think that his bat with the chase, with the lack of whiff, it fits really well into this lineup. And I could see him being, you know, a great two hitter in between Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper. And I think the key to probably getting him here, and Houston is going to be in on this. I think the Blue Jays will be on him as well, some other teams. I think that they need to come in with a very high AAV. And, you know, it can be a shorter term contract, but you pay him $30 million a year, even though that's an overpay. Like, I'm not saying that he's a $30 million a year player. He is a declining player. He is not going to be the Alex Bregman that he was in, you know, 2017 to 2019. But I do think he's a really good baseball player still. And if you give him 5 years, which would, you know, take you all the way up until 2029, I think you can handle maybe on the back end it biting you in the last year or two, rather than giving him, you know, an 8-year deal and you're well into his, you know, late 30s, paying for a guy that, you know, was good 10 years ago. So I think if you want to win now, it's a guy that you don't have to give up anything to get. All you're giving up is money, and it's a capitalist sport. I would be all in on the Phillies getting Alex Bregman. I just think the fit is too good. I love the defensive versatility, and I think that the postseason cachet, he's got relationship with guys. I know he knew Nola very well from his time at LSU. Him and Nola were teammates together down there, and I just think that it works in a number of different ways, and I am very much in favor of bringing Alex Bregman here and having a bat second right in between Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. You move Turner down the lineup, you get him more comfortable, not having to put as much pressure on him to have those great at-bats in between those two guys. So that's kind of why I'm all in on the Bregman train. And I'll tell you right now, I guess, you know, people are probably waiting for me to bring up Soto. It seems like Soto is, you know, kind of a dream at this point, and it's kind of something that's just unrealistic. He's already taken meetings, or not already had, but he's already set meetings with a few teams, including the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Blue Jays. I thought the Blue Jays were an interesting one. I think they have the second richest ownership group in baseball right now, so it makes sense as to why, you know, they would maybe, or Boris brings them in to kind of just compete with the Mets and the Yankees. I ultimately still think he's staying in New York, whether it's with the Mets or the Yankees, I'm not sure. I expect the Dodgers to be in the mix there as well. Boston was also a little interesting, but yeah, it's feeling like it's probably not going to happen with Soto. I expect Middleton eventually to probably get a meeting with them, but I don't think it'll probably escalate to any more than that. So that's kind of where I'm at with Soto. There's still other guys out there who I'd really like in terms of just upgrading your lineup and bring another bat in here. I've talked about Profar. He profiles similarly to Alex Bregman, just in terms of the, I guess, pure non-whiff and non-chase numbers. I think that he would fit well in this lineup in terms of that. And obviously, fills a need in left field. I don't think the Phillies go into next year with the Brandon Marsh, Johan Rojas thing, again, as it stands in the outfield. And Tyler O'Neill is another guy who I've mentioned a few times before. I think that I love the power from the right-handed side, and he definitely walks a lot as well. So would be good in that scenario and doesn't strike out too much, but I do like the on-base that Tyler O'Neill would bring to this team. With him, it's just always been about staying healthy and being able to stay on the field consistently, and doesn't play the greatest left field, but we'll say his bat profiles really well into this lineup here. So want to get into another rumor that has been, you know, kind of floated around recently, and that is Garrett Crochet. And Garrett Crochet was a guy who was discussed at the deadline for the Phillies to potentially be in on, and it kind of fell through at the end. They end up getting Tanner Banks, who they just wanted another lefty that they could be able to put in their bullpen at least. And if you remember, Garrett Crochet was not willing to go to the bullpen. He was one of the best starters in the sport over the past year, and has earned a massive contract extension, which he will get whichever team picks him up. And I would love him to be a Philly under a certain, I guess, under a few different circumstances here. I really have no interest in giving up any of the three big prospects in Painter, Aiden Miller, and Justin Crawford to go get Garrett Crochet right now, because I feel like you're trying to improve the team by improving the already best part of it, which is the pitching staff. And I understand that in the National League, you have an arms race here with, you know, the Dodgers having one of the best pitching staffs, and you know they're going to add Ohtani, and they're going to potentially add Roky Sasaki to this thing, which I would love the Phillies to be in on Roky Sasaki, but they have signed a grand total of zero Japanese imports throughout the course of their franchise history, so I'm not sure that Roky Sasaki is going to be the guy who starts that. But yeah, they have Ohtani. They're going to possibly have Sasaki. They're going to have Tyler Glass now. They're going to have a ton of arms. The same thing with the Mets, potentially. I could see them potentially getting Corbin Burns and adding him to their rotation. And, you know, there's a lot of great pitchers in the National League, and it would be nice for the Phillies to add Crochet for sure, but I just don't know if he's, you know, had enough sustained success for me to give up one of my potential blue-chip prospects for him. And it feels like, though, if you were to bring Garrett Crochet in here, which, again, would greatly improve this rotation, you should be excited if the Phillies bring in Garrett Crochet.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're probably getting rid of Ranger, which I still have difficulty doing just given the fact that I love Ranger. From a personal standpoint, I just think that he's as tough as it gets, and I know he had a rough second half of the year, but you can't discount what he did in the first half for sure, and just the fact that he's been willing to be so versatile for you and kind of just do the little things that it takes to win at a high level in baseball. But I would expect that it's going to take one of your blue chip prospects to get Crochet, and I just don't know if the rotation needs help that badly for you to do that, but I will say a five-man rotation of Wheeler, Crochet, Nola, Chris Sanchez, and then eventually Andrew Painter, that would be a really scary sight. And I still think I would be in favor of signing a guy to a potential one-year deal if they don't get Crochet to kind of bridge the gap to Andrew Painter here, one of the Scherzer, Verlander type of guys. But I just think that Garrett Crochet is a really talented pitcher, but I'm not willing to give up any of those three blue chip prospects to go get him. If it takes Starlin Cava, I really like him. He's an 80 grade defender, really talented young shortstop. Maybe you do it then. But I just think that he is a guy who's going to need a contract extension as well, that you could maybe wait a year or two and go get him in free agency. But anyway, off of Crochet for a second, I want to talk about one more thing. The bullpen. I think that the bullpen is probably going to end up getting solved through a trade, whether it's for Alec Bohm. It feels like Alec Bohm for Devin Williams has been the trade made in heaven among baseball Twitter all offseason. It seems like the Brewers are probably going to get off of Devin Williams. They typically don't like to pay their bullpen guys. They got off a Hader before they gave him an extension, and it feels like they probably do the same with Devin Williams. Would love Devin Williams to be a Philly, even though he did totally choke against the Mets in the postseason, or else the Phillies would have been playing the Brewers. I do like that idea of a trade. I've heard Andres Munoz been brought up from Seattle. They need some bats there. I could see that working. Even, you know, down in Tampa, Pete Fairbanks is an interesting idea. I just think that ultimately they're going to end up fixing the bullpen probably through a trade at some point. I'd still like them to bring Hoffman back, even though there are rumors out there that he potentially would be wanting to transition into a starter. I think that's pretty interesting, given that he was drafted in the first round and came out as a starter in the draft that year. And I just think that ultimately he's kind of, you know, made a name for himself in the bullpen. I think he's going to get paid very nicely for what he did in the bullpen. I think it's probably going to be 3 to 4 years of over $10 million a year, which, again, for a bullpen arm is pretty impressive. But it just feels like he's part of this core, and it feels like he wants to help this team win a championship. And, you know, if he gets paid, I guess, if he gets a ridiculous offer somewhere else, obviously he's going to end up taking that, and good for him if he does. But I would love Jeff Hoffman to continue to be a part of the core of this team and to eventually help them get to their ultimate goal, which is to win a world championship. Carlos Estevez, I know it's kind of shocking that Estevez is coming off maybe his best year as a closer that he's ever had before, just statistically this past season, because it just feels like his Phillies tenure was not that good. And obviously it got capped off by a Francisco Lindor grand slam in game four of the DS. But I think there's no way he's on this team next year. I think he probably goes somewhere else. I'm seeing the Yankees is rumored. I'm seeing some Cubs as rumors. And he's probably somewhere else next season. But it just feels like they need to have that established closer next year. And ultimately, I think they go the trade route for it. So that's kind of where I'm at on the free agency trade market stuff right now. And as I transition and wrap up the pod, I want to get into just some house cleaning items that I need to take care of here. One thing is that Phillies assistant coach Brian Kaplan, assistant pitching coach Brian Kaplan, was hired as the Diamondbacks pitching coach, so congratulations to him. But he was a stalwart in this organization over the past 10 years or so. Andrew Painter the other day was talking about how important he was in his development, and I know for the development of a lot of other pitchers coming up through the minor leagues for the Phillies as well. But like most good assistants, you probably expected him to leave sooner rather than later, and obviously the Phillies were pretty well prepared for this as they almost instantly hire Mark Lowy as their new assistant pitching coach, like essentially immediately after being the team's lead pitching development analyst over the past few years. So he will be the Phillies' new assistant pitching coach under Caleb Cotham, and can't express how good of a job this entire staff has done with the pitching staff of the Phillies organization throughout the last few years. It just feels like it has been a total 180 since Dave Dombrowski and this entire regime has kind of taken over and hired these guys. So would expect them to, continue to produce good pitching in this system, given what Caleb Cotham's brought and given what Mark Lowy can bring there. So, Mark Lowy, the new Phillies assistant pitching coach. And I talked about Andrew Painter just now. That's a good little transition to bring up Andrew Painter, who just completed another start in the Arizona Fall League and had a season-high 6 strikeouts in his last start. Again, looks really good. I think that might be it for him for the Arizona Fall League. I don't know if he has one more start to make. Pretty sure that might have been it. But if it is, he finishes Arizona Fall League. And here's the stat line through this date in the Arizona Fall League. 6 starts, 15 and two-thirds innings pitch, 18 strikeouts to 4 walks, a 2.30 ERA, and an 0.89 whip. I mean, this guy's just going to be so exciting to watch when he gets here. And I just can't wait for when he is pitching on the biggest stage because he's so ready for it, man. He's hitting 100 miles an hour. He's continuing to improve his stuff, improve his secondary pitches. And I just think that he has that Verlander type of look to him where the fastball just gets on you so quickly. And it is a big league fastball. And you can just tell by some of these at-bats you watch in the clips of him pitching in the Arizona Fall League to where, hitters are, I don't want to say intimidated because, they're all going to be big league guys facing high velocity at some point. But it just gets on you really quick. And if you're not prepared for an at-bat, he's going to get down on you 0-2 real quick. So I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Andrew Painter. Very impressed with the stat lines as well. And it just seems like he is going to be a phenomenal pitcher for this team for years to come. And it's going to be tough in terms of how they manage him. You're going to want to bring him up here as soon as he starts pitching well in the minor leagues. I understand that, but you have to keep the innings at a sustainable rate to where he can be pitching in the postseason next year, and you don't have to worry about him getting dead arm or just not being able to last through the end of October. So I think they're going to be careful with Painter, but when he gets up here, man, it's going to be a show. Just get me to his first start at Citizens Bank Park. I'm picturing a nice, crisp 70-some degree June evening, and, the ballpark's packed and everyone is locked in on watching Andrew Painter make his debut for the Phillies. Just get me there. I'm so excited. So excited. I miss baseball, if you can't tell, too. So, as much as I'm getting joy out of watching Andrew Painter's Arizona Fall League starts, I need him pitching at Citizens Bank Park ASAP. So, there's your little Andrew Painter update. Bryce Harper won the Silver Slugger Award. Congrats to Bryce. He won it over Freddie Freeman and Pete Alonso. And I was a little surprised. I thought they were probably going to give it to Freddie, especially given what he did in the postseason. But they give it to Bryce. He is the only Silver Slugger Award winner for the Phillies this season. And, so congrats to Bryce again. And we did have a signing in baseball that I just wanted to get to because I actually did mention him possibly being connected to the Phillies in some ways. Actually, a former Philly draftee, and that is Travis d'Arnaud. He signed a 2-year deal with the Angels, and it'll be interesting to see how the Phillies go about their backup catcher position next year because a lot of people, I think, just assume that Garrett Stubbs won't be back with the team, especially just, given his lack of offensive production at the plate, despite being a backup catcher, which I don't know when the standards got so high for the offensive production out of a backup catcher, but that's apparently what it is with Garrett Stubbs is, everyone points out his flaws offensively and, he still is a pretty good defensive backup catcher, but I would think that Garrett Stubbs is probably not on the team next year. I guess they lost their Garrett Stubbs privilege after they got bounced in the postseason like that, but we'll see what ends up happening there. Maybe they end up going with Marshawn as the primary backup catcher. He's had trouble staying healthy, but We'll see what they do there. I thought Travis d'Arnaud would have been a good fit, just a veteran guy to bring in here and maybe catch once or twice a week just to get JT off his feet a little bit, especially given how it looked like JT tired out a little bit towards the end of last season. But yeah, so we'll see. But he is with the Angels now and one of the first signings of the offseason as, like I said at the top, stove starting to get a little hot among Major League Baseball. So hopefully we start to see some signings come in here as well. And we get some excitement to this offseason as Dave Dombrowski, Sam Fold, and the rest of the front office look to, you know, kind of revamp this team and revitalize the excitement around the Phillies among, you know, the fans here in Philadelphia, because obviously, you know, things were left on a sour note. And I want to be in a position on opening day where I'm excited about the Phillies. And I think, you know, bringing Bregman here, trading for Crochet, making moves like that, potentially bringing in a Devin Williams, Munoz type, would do that. So I think they're going to be making moves. I think they're going to be aggressive. I don't think there's any chance that John Middleton, with, you know, his pockets full of cash, new ownership with him as well as partners are brought on, I don't think he is comfortable with what he saw. And I think he is going to, you know, be spending this offseason just based on him wanting to get back to the World Series and get back to the biggest stage and get his trophy back. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure to stay tuned. You know, throughout the offseason, I will be bringing you the latest news, the, you know, latest rumors going around when it comes to free agency and the trade market as well. So for Phillies 24/7 and for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.